here again with It Says in the Papers is Deirdre Purcell.
One of Ruan McCormack's reports from Gaza makes the lead for the Irish Times this morning. In it, he describes as uneasy the calm that hung over Gaza City during a lull in fighting, and writes about last night's telephone conversation between the US President and the Israeli Prime Minister, in which Barack Obama called for an immediate, unconditional ceasefire. For the Independent's lead, Fiona Sheehan tells us that according to graft government calculations, homeowners in up to 12 local authority jurisdictions can expect a full 15% cut in their property tax next year, with some other places to get cuts of up to 15%. For The Examiner, the main story this morning, written by Michael Clifford, is that certain products offered on bookies' premises in this country, such as virtual roulette, may not be covered by current licences and may therefore be illegal. The Examiner's front page also carries the words of Archbishop Michael Neary, speaking at Mass on Croagh Patrick yesterday. He told pilgrims that Christianity should get the same respect as all religions, but that commentators applied different standards. He said that unlike, for instance, in the case of the Jewish and Islamic faiths, when it came to Jesus Christ and that which is sacred to Christians, freedom of expression knows no limits. A statement by Professor Donal O'Shea, an expert on obesity, makes Jennifer Bray's lead for the Irish Daily Mail. He has said that life-saving organ transplants, especially those of livers, kidneys and the pancreas, may not take place in this country because too many potential donors are overweight. And the paper prints the statistics. At present rates, Ireland will become the fattest country in Europe by 2030. And there are 550 people on transplant waiting lists. So what else? Ireland's rugby star Cian Healy has split from his model girlfriend, Holly Carpenter. That's the lead for the Irish Daily Star. The Irish Daily Mirror leads with a suicide attempt by Tulisa Kontostavlosis. I think it's Kontostavlosis, I'm not sure, of the X Factor programme. While the Mail has picked up yesterday's Sunday Times story that Bertie Ahern is involved on a pro bono basis in efforts to broker talks between opposing sides in Ukraine. The Examiner carries a piece telling us that there are behind-the-scenes negotiations underway to restore credit union services to Castletown Bear following the liquidation of the local service last week. There's speculation that another credit union could open a branch office there. And there are reports from varying angles everywhere about the arrival of a Star Wars cast and crew on Skellig Michael for 3 days, starting today. Birdwatch Ireland is worried about the effects on the teeming bird life, since it is now the breeding season. But locals, especially those involved in the tourist industry, are very excited. And many papers also carry the attempted break-in at the home of Michael Healy Ray. And the Independent's health and living supplement, there is a lovely picture of 14-year-old Jordan McAllister from Ballycastle in County Antrim holding the long plait of her hair, which she had cut off and donated to the Little Princess Trust, an organisation that provides real hair wigs to children who've lost their own hair because of cancer treatments. The number of 9/11 rescuers who have contracted cancer has now risen to 2,500, according to the Mirror. A smartphone made in India and costing just €33 is now available online and apparently offers most of the bells and whistles of its much more expensive rivals. That's in the Mail. And in The Independent, Mary Kenny reminds us that the Irish Free State played an influential role in the character of the original Commonwealth because of Irish sensibilities, allusions to imperialism were watered down. And finally, Tom Farrell from Swords in County Dublin writes to the same paper because he is now suffering from role confusion. He tells of an incident in his back garden when he responded to the cries of his 4-year-old granddaughter who had yelled that there was a baby spider on her dress. Having donned his cape of heroism, he dashed to her side but was brushed off with the admonition in the little girl's best princess voice, "Don't touch it, it's cute."
Thank you very much, Deirdre.